founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Hey, welcome all to the show, FSH Society Radio, coming at you live here on Wednesday, March 28th, and happy to be here. I hope you're happy to be here and joining us for another episode of the FSH Society Radio Show. You can get in touch with the show, real easy to do. You can either call us up if you'd like, that's 949-270-5953. Or you can email me direct, fshradiohost@gmail.com. That's my direct email if you want to get a hold of me directly. fsh@fshsociety.org is the email for the group. And follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FSH Society. All at fshsociety.org. I think you got the hint that it's FSH Society. Once again, the studio number here is 949-270-5953. Hopefully, we have a great show in store for you today. Kind of fun and casual, and that's how we like to roll it from time to time, because I'll tell you, this is going to be a lot of fun to have. Sean Welch is going to come on. He is part of the Connecticut Meeting Group, and that's really going to be the theme today. The theme today is really talking about community, talking about meeting, talk about getting support, what that does for a person that is in the situation such as ours, where we're dealing with FSH or the caregivers, the family members. You need someone to reach out to. You need someone to give you that support. Now, I do hope that this show offers that to you to some degree, because that's what it's meant for. This is not a show to just have me come on and talk. No, this is about a community. This is a larger kind of think of it as maybe the center spoke, so to speak, of the larger type meeting that we do once a month here, that anybody can come on nationally, globally, really, and come and talk or chat with us. We have that available too. We have the chat room. You go on to Blog Talk Radio, and it's really simple. All you have to do is go on the chat room. You can be anonymous. Right now we have 3 guests in, one of which is Sean. Hello, Sean. Thanks for being on the ready. And he's in the chat room right now, as well as 2 other guests that have stayed anonymous. And you can do that. You can chat room your questions to us. Let us know what you're talking about or what you want to talk about. And we'd be happy to bring you aboard into the show, because it's about you. So you got questions or things you want to talk about, even your story. We want to hear about your story, maybe the story of your diagnosis, something you want to get off your chest. Maybe a question about the FSH Society that we can help answer. I broadcast out of Milwaukee. That's my neck of the woods, or Milwaukee area. And I had the pleasure of going to a meeting group this weekend, this past weekend in Chicago. And it's I wouldn't say it's a stone's throw away, but it's close. It's close enough, right? It's actually in Schaumburg is where I traveled to. Met some fantastic people there that are doing exactly what we're talking about today. Right, they are meeting, they are conversating, they are supporting each other, and they're starting to rally up and bring support together, as we are starting to get called to do from Mark Stone, the CEO of the FSH Society, as well as Jun Kinoshita, who's also ramping up, as well as Beth as well from the FSH Society. They're all gathering the troops, so to speak, as we start to coordinate some of these meeting groups and turn them possibly into chapters. That was part of the conversation at our Chicago meeting group, my first time being there. The great people there made me feel very, very welcome, as we had some drinks and some snacks at Starbucks there and had a great conversation. Mark Stone was there, the CEO. We listened to him speak about the FSH Society and the path and the journey that we're all going to start to take. And our leader or organizer there was Dave Lucas. He did a fantastic job. So happy to meet him and connect with him. Heard some great stories with other members, Justin and Ramsey. Ramsey's father was there as well, and he was talking. He had some great questions for Mark Stone, because it turns out that that gentleman was a teacher, and he was even teaching about FSH at his university. So it was phenomenal to meet these people, and that's something that makes me feel good, because you know, when I'm down here in my home studio broadcasting this to you, I know you're listening. I know you're there, of course. And I know that later we have a lot of podcast listeners after the fact. But there's something that I miss to some degree, where the face-to-face. And so going to those meeting groups, granted, it was my first one. I'm going to do more of those. I'm also trying to get more involved with other meeting groups, especially like the Connecticut Connections group. Now, that group I met more or less through video conferencing, and that's another way that people can get together and connect that way. And it was a great experience. I think we had 11 people in on that group with Connecticut, and that was fun to be a part of. And then I kind of, you know, asked them to be a part of this. Sean raised his hand. Kathy wanted to be here, the person that organizes that group. She had a previous engagement, though, so she couldn't make it. But I know she's going to listen to the after broadcast, you know, all on Blog Talk Radio there, and listen to the show right after this show is done. It's available for on-demand listening. I know she'll listen there. So Sean was willing to come on, talk a lot about, you know, himself, of course. I want to hear his story. We want to hear about the Connections group. Maybe you want to start one in your area. Maybe you want to find one near you to be a part of. How do you do that, right? Well, FSHSociety.org has all that for you. Visit that site, open up another page on your browser there if you're listening right now, and maybe investigate that. How do you do that? I believe it's Beth Johnson that's the organizer of a lot of those groups and is helping in that regard. So that's kind of what this is about today. It's really about building that community. It's about finding the support for yourself. You can't just do this completely alone. If you don't have really close-knit family, it makes it more difficult. Or if your family is out of the area where you are and you want someone to talk to, maybe a meeting group can be somebody you can get in touch with. If you can't leave your home, be a part of some of these that do video conferencing. I mean, I'm in Milwaukee, and I was joining the Connecticut Connections group, no problem. And it was fantastic to go from where I was and meet with these people and hear their stories and hear a little bit. You know, some of it's some frustration, of course. Some of it's some fear. Some of it's some anxiety about what they're dealing with. But then there's other people in those groups that come up with fantastic, you know, they call them life hacks to guide you through if you can't read certain things or need to navigate in your life. How do you do that? What are some tools that you can use, right? So these people bring that to you. Some things you never even would have thought of is all there for you. So there's a lot of things we want you to get engaged and get involved with, and it doesn't cost you a thing, just a little bit of your time. And in all honesty, I think that's, you know, that's something that we can spare from time to time when it's for a good thing. It's good to connect. Scientists have proven that when people are dealing with things like this, if it's a diagnosis or a disease, finding people that share within that extends your life expectancy. It makes your positivity, you know, grow. And that's what you need in situations like this. Now, I'm not one to think that or be naive to think that I'm Mr. Positive. Anybody that knows me very closely would know it's most cases quite the opposite. But at the same time, I know it's important. And when I am at my down moments or something, you know, I have my own support group of family, some friends, my wife, my kids lift me up a little bit, right? We all need that. But these groups offer another, think of it like another ring, right? You have your tight, close-knit family, friends, and then you have the next ring of people to connect with and talk with, and it really is nothing but positivity in that regard. So I'm excited to have Sean on today. I think he's going to be a great guest. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to talk with. So why don't we take actually our first break right now? We're going to open up the phone lines too throughout, and of course the chat room is wide open all the time. Let me remind you that phone number here. That's 949-270-5953. When we come back, we're going to have Sean Welsh dial up and have him call in to the show here and share a little bit about himself, a little bit about the story of Sean, let's say. And then, of course, we will ask him some questions about the CT Connections group that he's a part of. And so you got questions for him, either dial us up, we'll get you on, or use that chat room, like I said, or send me an email, fshradiohost@gmail.com. Oh, man, I'm going to take a little drink of water and take a break, and we'll be right back. This is the FSH Society Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Max Adler, and I played Dave Karofsky on the TV series Glee. Growing up, I saw firsthand how devastating muscular dystrophy can be. My mother and my grandmother both had it, a type called fascioscapulohumeral, or FSHD. Without a cure, my family and I stood by helplessly as they were robbed of being able to do the simplest everyday tasks like chew their food, reach for a cup on a high shelf, or walk unsupported. FSHD is one of the most common muscular dystrophies. It attacks your face, your shoulders, arms, and legs. It's devastating, but it doesn't have to be this way. 500,000 people have this disease. Many doctors don't even recognize it. The FSH Society is here to help patients get the care they need. They are funding research that is leading to scientific breakthroughs, bringing us closer to treatments and to a cure every day. You can help us get there faster. Learn, act, and give at fshsociety.org.
Welcome back to the show, FSH Society Radio. Thanks for being here. Another Wednesday of FSH Society Radio, March 28th. We just bring it live to you here as I broadcast from Milwaukee. But we're going to bring in someone all the way from the Connecticut area. It's going to be Sean Welch, who's he turned out to be a really good friend. Actually, we've communicated quite a bit the last couple of weeks. Always have a blast talking to this guy, and I'm glad he's on here, and maybe you'll feel the same way. Welcome, Sean. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm absolutely doing great. This is amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here in my home in Connecticut relaxing, and I get to talk to you all the way out in the Midwest. This is amazing. Oh, man.
Isn't technology wonderful? Sometimes.
It has gone so far. Everything that you said before rings so solidly true. When I first got diagnosed, it was back in 1978, 79. There wasn't the internet, and we didn't have cell phones. And I had no idea what FSH was. You know, they told me I had facial scapular humeral, blah, 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 blah. And I've never heard of it. Never seen anyone in my life who hasn't. And I had no way of contacting anybody and saying, right, hey, I have this, you know, what do you have? And now, I mean, it's all over Facebook. We're having a talk radio show about it. Oh, man, that rocks. That really rocks.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to know now with all that, you know, social media stuff, that it's not just, you know, used for, you know, mind-numbing scrolling of what's going on either in the news or society type stuff, but it can also be used like this, you know, building communities outside of your own area community. You know, it's kind of that growth. And I think that is exactly what this needs. And after I have heard the, little webinar that Mark Stone put on, and that's all available at fshsociety.org. And when I saw him talk on the Chicago meeting group, and about this push about, you know, starting these chapters and let's raise the fundraising amount higher so we can bridge that gap financially to try to get a cure quicker, or at least in their goal dates, which we will discuss later. But let me, you said that you were diagnosed 1978, 1979. How long did it take, though, for you to get the proper diagnosis? Was it something that came easy, or was it something that came difficult?
Oh, it was a long, hard road. I had originally thought that I had broken my shoulder. And, you know, when I tried to do push-ups or try to throw, you know, a ball with my opposite hand, I couldn't do it. And I kept going to my regular doctor and saying, you know, my arm hurts in this place, my arm hurts in that place. And my doctor, who I'd had for, you know, ever since I was a kid, he told me, just don't go to those places. So
right.
from there, I ended up going to Yale University, Yale Hospital is in my backyard. And they sent me, because they couldn't figure out why, they sent me up to University of Connecticut. And that's a huge, huge place. And I can remember driving up and, you know, parking in the parking lot, grabbing my little ticket, going in and getting poked and probed and everything else. And finally, the doctor told me, he says, you have facioscapular humeral muscular dystrophy. I was shocked. I mean, it was like getting hit. And
right.
I couldn't even think of what to say. So
yeah.
I turned to one of the doctors there, and I pulled out my little ticket, you know, from the parking, and I said, do you validate? And he goes, yes, I concur. You have FSH. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And I ended up having to go to a library. Now, I don't know if any of the young kids know this, but libraries are places that they keep books. And I had to go there, and now I was not an A student, so trying to figure out how to spell fascio-humeral suppular dystrophy took me, you know, five right. index cards and two reference rooms. So then I finally got it, and I didn't know anybody who had this, nor did I know anyone who's ever seen somebody with it. After a couple of visits to the MDA clinic, where they told me, you know, there's no cure for you, there's no help for you, you know, you'll passing on and, you know, in your sleep someday, I got a name and a phone number from somebody at the clinic for a lady by the name of Carol Perez. And that was my first introduction into what would become the FSH Society.
Okay.
And I can remember talking to her late at night on the phone, her sending out mimeographed letters of, you know, here's other people that have it and how to contact them. And I went from never seeing anybody or never knowing anybody to now I've got 20 or 30 friends that I can, you know, talk to. And of course, we've got the Connecticut connection, which, you know, we all get together either by computer or we'll actually have meetings where we sit down and talk. And we get to discuss things on, you know, what kind of braces do you have? What kind of scooter do you use? And
right.
it's amazing. We've gone from no hope at all to having dreams that someday we're going to be able to kick this thing's butt. I'm still awestruck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there's...
And there's so many
sounds,
things going on.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it must feel like it's gone. I mean, does it feel to you like it's gone leaps and bounds very quickly from when you were first diagnosed to where things are now?
I would say the first 10 years, no. The first 10 years
yeah.
was very, very, very slow. I remember I've been to most of the doctors on the East Coast and across the United States, and it wasn't until I ended up at the University of Rochester that I actually started seeing progress, you know, and seeing that they were making changes. And I'll never forget the day I'm sitting down eating breakfast, I'm having my cornflakes and everything, and it hit me. My cornflakes
yeah.
are more genetically modified than we are. And that they broke the human genome during the Clinton administration that, you know, it was going to take them 20 years. Now, for $69, I can go to Ancestry.com and they tell me everything.
Yeah, for $69, then why did my DNA test cost $3,000? That to me is just, what is that? Yeah. Well, there's but I digress. So, how was the support? You know, you said that no one really knew what it was when you were diagnosed, and that
right.
You know, I'd imagine you felt a little lost. I'm sure it was probably tough to kind of keep away from the dark place in your head of, holy crap, what the heck's going on here? What am I going to do? So where did you reach for first before obviously all these connections now that are available for people that are recently diagnosed, such as myself? Did you have a lot of support from family, or did they kind of look at you like, well, what does that mean? Or was there more confusion?
At first there was much more confusion because, my parents, as far as they knew, they didn't have it. And they couldn't believe that I would have it. I had a younger brother. I have a younger brother who has cerebral palsy. And that was something that people could see. And the moment, right. You know, he walked into the room, he was dragging his leg or his arm was curled, people knew he was disabled. I walked into the room, you know, I got forearms, you know, I look like a professional arm wrestler. And people wouldn't believe that I had a disability and that I was losing muscle.
Right.
You know, and then the pot belly starts, which is a shock. And I originally thought it was because I was getting fat, that's another effect. That's something that, you know, we all will have. And even I was having a hard time believing that I was disabled.
Yeah.
I think
probably
one of those conversations I had with Carol, you know, she was telling me, you know, you're not disabled. You have this genetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me more than anything else, that I am not disabled. And even today, some 40 years later, I still don't see myself as disabled. Because, you know, I have run. I have been able to do all this stuff in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this has not stopped me from doing anything. Yes, I'm not going to be doing a 6-minute mile or even a 60-minute mile anytime soon. Okay. But I still get to get to enjoy a great, great life.
Right.
You know, I get to talk to people all over the world on an internet radio thing, which is so much better than the little crystal radio I used to make from Radio Shack. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
Now it's like, it's incredible. And
you just click and go.
Yeah, I'm glad that we have the technology to do this, and I'm glad we have people that have FSH who are doing this, who are out enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember, I don't know if he's on here today, but a good friend of mine, Borden McMillan, here's a guy who's doing sales on the road constantly, and he has FSH. And the guy's motivated. He's positive, you know, because he's living his life.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, we do get to do. You know, we've been able to have that moment in the sun when we can run, and maybe now we can't run. But at least we had that opportunity. The only thing we don't have is we don't have that point in time that we can blame. We can't say, well, as of Tuesday, I got FSH. Monday morning, I was fine. But Tuesday, I got FSH.
Right.
You know? And they can't give me that shot. You know?
Right.
Let's stop FSH. Vaccinate your kid. You don't get that with this. You know? And my path might be similar to yours, or it could be different. You know, you might go faster than me. I might go faster than you. We don't know that. But we both know the path we're going to go on. And we're going to have the big life. We're going to have big fun.
Well, at least we try to while we're here.
No, well, we try to. We try to at least.
Right. Yeah, we try our best. Now, what was your line of work before? I mean, I assume that you were talking about, well, you know, we had our moment in the sun running and obviously just like me, you know, you were able to do other things a little easier, you know, when you were a younger person and when this FSH thing was a little newer and all that. So what on in your, let's call it what, your first life?
Well, my first life, believe it or not, and this is going to sound, you're going to say to yourself, no way, Sean. I was a car salesman.
No.
And yes. That's also where I met my future wife. I worked
Excellent.
In selling cars. A very good friend of mine's family owned a large dealership here in the Northeast. And I've always had the gift of gab. And mm-hmm. I was selling cars. And it afforded me, you know, life's pleasures, always having a brand new car, didn't own the car,
right,
but always had a new car, and I could make my own schedule, made my own money, and never worried about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I found out that I had FSH, and it was a shock to me. It destroyed me. So I knew I had to get a desk job. So
mm-hmm.
I started selling new cars inside in the showroom, and that's where I met my wife. She was a billing clerk, and I never forget, you know, having that conversation with her after dating that, I had this disease, and it's called facio-humeral scapular, and she didn't see any humor in it either, and she said she loved me. She loved listening to me speak. So I knew right then and there I had won. And
right,
since
right.
that day, I've called her my trophy wife because that's the last discussion I ever won.
Right. Nice.
So then from there, of course, I needed to get a city job. And I started looking around for city jobs, and I found one. It was working at a water pollution plant. And I literally was the guy who would shovel the stuff back into the truck.
Nice.
And I did that,
for
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I basically sent myself to the jail. I spent the first 5 years in jail. Well, let me rephrase that. I spent 5 years working.
Yeah, there you
in
go.
The jail. I worked as a maintenance man.
Some people just drop their jaw. Yeah.
I worked as a maintenance man in a local jail, and the police chief really thought that I had a certain tack, a certain way of speaking. That I would do very good as a 911 operator.
Oh, there you go.
And
yeah.
I figured, you know, I could talk anybody into jumping. I did that for many years. And after 20-something years, I became a crime analyst.
Wow.
And I taught classes at Dr. Lee's University of New Haven in crime analysis, and I retired after 26 years.
Wow.
So starting off selling cars, which on the level of society is like really far up there, it's actually above the guy who's shoveling stuff back onto the truck, to going to crime scenes and figuring out stuff and facts and numbers and maths and computers. And I had a wonderful life. My life isn't over. I'm not saying that, okay, that's it. Good night.
Right. Tapping out. No.
Yeah, I got to retire, you know, and I see things on Facebook and I see things on people that, you know, have just been diagnosed. And, you know, they wonder what type of job they should get. And it's like, get any job and do it for as long as you can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never knew I would go from a sewer plant to a maintenance man, to a 911 dispatcher, to a crime scene analyst, to a crime analyst. And then I would teach that at a university. I mean, that's pretty cool stuff. And I'm
that's a pretty cool road. And so, sorry to interrupt. You're no different than who? Any of us?
Then the next guy who puts on a pair of pants. You know, I mean, or woman who puts on their pair of pants. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what life's going to give you.
Right.
You know, if life gives you lemons, you make your hair blonde. Go ahead.
Right. So basically then, it sounds more or less that if any limitations were coming during that journey for you as you were, you know, building that career, which is really what you were doing. You know, you were going from one thing to the next, but you were improving, obviously. You were following that road. But there must have been some physical limitations that tried to, you know, get in your way, but you must have adapted. Is that just how it kind of worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, I always, if you're lucky enough to know that you have this, you can always tip your hand, or as I like to say, luck favors the prepared mind. You know, I didn't become a police officer chasing after bad guys because I knew that my disability would slow me down someday. So I steered towards a different job.
Right.
And then when doing 911 is a lot of fun and a lot of stress and time, I knew that I wouldn't, you know, want to do that for another 20 years. So I started taking classes and studying so that I'd be ready for that next. And then when the opportunity showed itself, I was, you know, ready. And that's something that a lot of people who have FSH are very logical people. I mean, when you talk to all the people and see them and, you know, they're pretty well put together and they know, you know, what life is going to be like. And they can prepare themselves like I did for the next, you know, 10, 15 years. Our disease is not something that, you know, today you can do X, Y, and Z, and tomorrow you don't know if you can do any of it. It'll be a little more difficult tomorrow. And it'll be a while before you lose all the abilities, or you may never lose that.
Right.
I mean, I know you're probably 20 years younger than me, but 20 years ago, you would have seen me and, you know, you probably would have been in awe. I'm a handsome man. You know, I have hair. Okay. But you don't know that. I mean, how many times have you met somebody with FSH and they're either better off than you or worse than you? And they look at you going, I'm better than that guy or worse than that guy. We all, you know, we all are going to be different about it, and all of us are going to have, you know, different problems.
Right.
Which is another great thing. Oh, you talked about it earlier. A friend of mine, last name of Armstrong, Mark, and he came up and he told me some things that he's having difficulties with, and I'm like, oh, no. I better start thinking about that. Because, you know, Mark's maybe 10 years older than me. And if he's having that problem, I might have that problem. And I was able to discuss with him, you know, gee, how do you handle that, you know? And it's kind of personal, but it was like, really? And he goes, yep, this is what I do. And I'm
right.
Like, that's
so
great.
You got, yeah, so yeah, you kind of get this almost, you know, look into the future a little bit when you do talk with others that are going through some difficult times. And you're right. It's kind of like I met this young man at the Chicago meeting group that I went to, and he was only, I think he just recently turned 21. And, you know, he was a lot more slender, you know, than I was at that age, which means that, okay, the FSH is affecting him quicker than it did me. Because when I was that age, I was still kind of, I don't want to say muscular. I wasn't really that. I was just, you know, people thought I lifted weights then. You know, they're like, oh, you got a big neck and big shoulders. Da, da, da. It's like, really? I don't touch a weight. You know, where there's no way they would look at this gentleman and think that. But to hear his, I learned so much from him because of how he's living his life despite it all. It's like, so what? You know, this is what I do. And he did. You know, he did describe how he used to run a 6-minute mile when he was this younger guy, you know, probably like, you know, high school age, you know, considering he's just 21 telling the story that day. But, and he noticed, wow, I'm getting slower as this is going. So that was his kind of calling card, like, uh-oh, something's going on here. Something's not right. And I can only imagine the hurdles or the things that he has to go through every day, either to get dressed or to do this. It's simple tasks that most people take for granted, even myself. And that's really what I learned from him, to not take it for granted. I thought, look at this young guy, gets up every day. He probably, you know, kicks the world in the teeth every day, does what he has to do. And he's got a positive attitude. He's got a great smile. He was a great conversation person. And I was like, inspiration. So it seems like to me, every time I meet somebody, you say either they have, you know, it's affecting them differently, worse, better, whatnot. I'm inspired by it no matter what. Because for me, though, this is still kind of fresh. I've only had to deal with this for about a year of knowing. And to me, that was a little different. I'm glad I didn't know when I was younger. I'm glad I was just naive to it so I could just kind of do whatever. And I didn't think about it. But that kind of leads me then to this next question for you, Sean, is that I've told people this, that I find it kind of strange, this kind of epiphany I've had about FSH for myself. And that's since I've found out that I have it, I think I'm a better person. I don't think I would like me if I didn't have it. It has given me more compassion, more awareness. I don't know how to really phrase it in a word or two. It just, I feel like I...
Did I lose you?
Oh, is he there? Sean, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear
good.
Me?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I didn't know. I can hear you now. That sounds like a Verizon commercial from back in the day. my point was, is, you know, I almost wonder to myself, it just doesn't sound nice out loud, but it's almost like it's a blessing. It's like I'm better because of this, because I think I'm becoming a better person, because this has kind of shaken me and woken me up and, like, quit taking stuff for granted or quit sweating so many of the small things or, you know, lose the attitude, guy. You know, so to me, that's really what it's opened up for me. It's like, wow. What would I be like without this? Have you ever had that kind of sense or feeling about yourself, or am I just crazy?
Boy, that's a big open door there. Which way should I go?
It's a softball. That's what they call it.
Yeah, I've never really tasted you, Mark, Tim, but I'd say you're much sweeter now.
Right, it's not like that you knew me before this. Yeah, it's true.
Right.
But I
agree with you more that we're going to love more, we're going to feel more, and not that we're lucky to have this, but we're lucky that
we
have, you know. You never can change a beginning. We can only change the end. You know, and life is not really about having or getting, but life is more about being and becoming. And we get to enjoy life. all of it.
Right. Yeah,
you
I totally
know, I mean,
agree.
Simply, like, you know, there are times that I just look out and I watch the snow fall. And I'm thankful that I got to see that.
Well, that makes only of us, because I personally can't stand the snow anymore, but that's a whole different side topic.
But I'm such a white guy, okay?
Right.
I'm the only guy I know who could go to Alaska and get a sunburn at night.
Oh, man.
But
So now, when did the Connecticut Connections Group start, the CT Connections Group start? Were you a part of the beginning process?
No, two young women, Kathy Seneca and Sarah Pash, contacted the FSH Society and inquired about starting a chapter, starting a group. I went to their first meeting, and we all got together, and it was amazing that there were people only two or three towns over that were affected by FSH, and I think it was like maybe nine of us at the first meeting.
Wow.
And it was amazing, because now I could actually talk to somebody and say, you know, hey, have you noticed when you go to blank store that the aisles are not wide enough if you're going through on a scooter? Or
right.
I could go up to, you know, somebody, a friend of mine, Sandra, she had one of these little roller walker things. And I said, wow, that's really nice. Can I try it out? And she let me walk around, you know, for like 20 minutes trying this little roller walker. Now, you wouldn't be able to do that out on the street. You know, number one,
right.
It's hard enough walking up to somebody saying, hey, do you have diddly dop scooty sip?
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, they're hitting you with their umbrella. But sitting with somebody who is one town over, who we could talk about, you know, things going on, what we read in the paper today, and they could try something I have, you know.
Right.
I only wear AFOs. I can walk around most of the time. And, you know, who else here has these AFOs? Who has casts on their legs? And who does this, that, or the other thing? And actually be able to see, touch, talk to them about it. That is powerful. And then we kind of figured out in the wintertime to do the Zoom, to have a video conference where we all could get together and, you know, do it all online. And we invited you for one, and, you know, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I might nose my way in on some more, so I hope I'm not going to, you know, crowd the room there. Yeah, I want to make sure it's still
you guys. Anybody and everybody is welcome to that. You know, we've had a young lady, which blew my mind with her 4-inch high heel.
Oh, right.
Who has FSH.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a perfect example. This is something which could have gone so wrong. By saying, really, 4-inch high heels? Wow. If it wasn't in a circle of people who had FSH, who had foot drop.
Right.
All right. You know, they would have been going to human resources after the meeting and making a complaint. But we all knew, you know, what an impossible feat she was accomplishing with that. And we actually were proud of Vicky.
Yeah,
but, you know, she's
absolutely
wearing heels and stuff like that. You know, God bless you, Vicky. You know, that's fantastic. And I've now seen her popping up all over the place. And, you know, I can't wait till we, you know, someday can get together. And, you know, and talk and share things, which is so wonderful with all the technology and the stuff that the society is helping us with, which is big.
Now,
big stuff.
Oh, yeah. yeah, there's big stuff on the horizon, and they're, you know, reaching out to groups such as yours to, you know, become the official chapter and this and that. And so do you feel that with these changes with Mark Stone talking about, you know, kind of a big fundraiser push, where do you see the place for the CT Connection in all of that?
Well, your analogy there of a wheel was great. You know, I'm hoping that we would be one of those spokes in the wheel that, you know, when they want to have a fundraiser, instead of me having to get 50 people, we could take the 10 people from the FSH group in Connecticut, and we all get 5 people. Then we have our 50. When the time comes for research, and they want, okay, I want to research, but we're going to need, you know, women between this age and that age, it'd be so much easier for the notice to go out to the chapters, because then they know who the people are that fit that criteria, and they'll turn around faster. And the only thing I'm worried about, this is something I've had a discussion with other members who have FSH, is, you know, what about the secret handshake? Because a lot of us with FSH have problems with our fingers. They don't fully open up. So we might not go with a handshake. We might just go with like a body vibration or something.
Oh, man. So then there's this other big event, right, coming up in Las Vegas, June 9th and 10th. Are you going to be a part of that?
I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. I mean, it is, if you can go, or if anybody that's listening can go, it is
absolutely right.
Absolutely fantastic. They do this round table roulette type of thing. It's they have a name for it. It's like, you know, dining with a expert, where they put a certain medical person in the field at each one of the tables, and you're going to dinner. You're going to have a dinner with a doctor that knows all about this, and to meet other individuals who come from all walks of life in a place where everybody's equal is amazing. I mean, it is, you walk away from this thing feeling hope, and not just hope, but with a plan. You know, hope is a wonderful thing, but hope is not a plan.
Right.
The society, the doctors that are actively working on this are actually putting out a plan for us and saying, here you go. You know, we're going to cure this. We're going to get help for you. And it's going to be in such and such a time. And if we go to this, we help inspire these doctors to work a little bit harder, to work a little bit more, because they're not curing this slide or this little petri dish. They're curing a human being. And I'm that human being. And you are. And Sandy is. And Sarah is. And Bob. I don't know about Don. I don't know if we're going to cure Don. But everybody out there, you know?
Right.
And it's great. I mean, there is that one person who made the last dollar donation that cured polio.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is one person who made the final calculation to land the man on the moon. And we can know that person, or we can be that person. And I think that's an incredible opportunity. You know, I would like to be able, you know, in 20 years, tell my grandchildren, you know, what I have, no one has anymore. And I was part of the healing process. You know, your grandfather who used to shovel yuckity-yuck off the back of a truck helped cure a disease by giving muscle tissue. by giving a little bit of blood, by running on a treadmill. And that, my little gift, opportunities are, you know, all sitting there for us. And all we got to do is be. But anyway, I talk too much. So do you want the car in blue or do you want it in red? You know, it comes with power steering.
Very good, yeah. No, last question for you, and I like to ask this of a lot of the guests, and especially those that have FSHs. If someone's listening that's recently diagnosed, what's the best advice that you could give them?
Reach out. There are so many of us that are there trying to reach you. All you have to do is reach out. You're not alone. You're not going through this alone. It's not a dark future. It's a very bright future. And we can help you turn on the light. We can help show you the path. We're going to be there those days you just need somebody to talk to. Like Carol was for me so many years ago. I want to be to the next generation. I want the person that cannot pronounce facial scapular humeral muscular dystrophy to be able to know I can spell it for you. It's just FSH. Remember, there is no I in FSH. That would be fish.
Yeah, that would be fish. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for joining us tonight, taking the time and sharing your story and getting us involved and try to find that CT Connections group. I know anybody that wants to find it, it's all there on FSHsociety.org. I think the next meeting for your group is April 5th, if I'm correct. So they can find that and get in touch, I think, with Kathy and those involved if they want to be a part of that group and get connected. So thank you very much, Sean, for joining us. You take care.
Thank you, buddy.
So that's Sean Welsh. He is, he's just a guy with FSH, right? But he's helping connections, helping people get involved, and he's a hoot. That is a fact. We thank him for joining us. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll give you some news, notes, and close up shop. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/cureFSHD, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
Welcome back to the FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here tonight. We had a featured guest with Sean Welsh of the CT Connections Group. You want to get involved with that Connections Group or just get involved, right? FSHsociety.org is the place to go to. As I go through news and notes, still got some time if you want to squeak some chat room chatter in there. You can do that. You can also call up if you'd like, if you want to give us a final thought about either that interview, or if you have a question for me, we can do that too. That's 949-270-5953. Or after the show, you can email me directly with questions, comments, or you just want to reach out, fshradiohost@gmail.com. gets you right to me. There's no email screener or nothing. Yeah, it's not that kind of deal. Yeah, you get right to me, and I'll help you out, and let's connect. Here's some news and notes going on, though, with FSH Society. This is given to me from Jun Kinoshita, who could not be here tonight to give this information for us, but I'll do my best to take her place. Look up on fshsociety.org. Last week's webinar with Chris Graham has been posted on the website. It'll be available for 2 months. He talked about the psychology and the interventions to improve a well-being in muscle diseases. So I actually watched this webinar. It was very good. He had fantastic slides in there, a lot of information, just how to, you know, it's the psychological side of it that I think also people don't realize, at least I know I didn't, how much that can be impacting your life, sometimes even more than the physical. So take a look at that. It's available on the fshsociety.org website. FSH Society's President and CEO Mark Stone's webinar is also available on the FSH Society. Strategic Vision is what he talks about on his webinar. That's also available. It's a fantastic one. It's about an hour long, but if you ever listen to Mark Stone, you don't get tired of listening to him talk. He's got a beautiful kind of a southern charm, so to speak, to his voice, and spells out basically the mission and vision of what the FSH Society is taking on. And a little bit about that, too, if you go to fshsociety.org, there's some article on there about Project 2025, how will we get to a treatment that can slow or stop FSHD, was announced on our spring campaign, they say. There's a $100,000 matching gift challenge. Your donations will be matched dollar for dollar, but you need to donate before May 31st. So that's there's a $100,000 matching gift challenge going on right now, so May 31st. So get a part of that because the big project 2025, that's our new mission, as they are looking to have a cure by 2025. That's right. You heard it right. And if you watch the Mark Stone's webinar, there'll be mention of those things. Upcoming group meetings going on in the FSH world. FSHD Connecticut Connections, as we just talked about, Thursday, April 5th. 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. I believe all these times are Eastern, or at least a time zone where the meeting groups will be happening. Like this one, the 2018 FSHD Family Day, Rochester, New York, Saturday, April 7th. That's 9 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. San Diego member meeting on Saturday, April 14th, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The Hube Sound, Florida gathering for FSH friends on Sunday, April 15th, 1 to 4 p.m. The Western Washington FSH community on Skype. I actually tried to get involved with this one last weekend, and I swung and missed. I had something else kind of jump in front of me I had to handle, and I'm going to try my best to get involved with that one because it's Skype, and being from Wisconsin here, I can get involved with some of these that are virtual or webinars, right? That's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's the Western Washington FSH community on Skype conference. The Mid-Atlantic Potluck Barbecue, Walters Residence, Leesburg, Virginia, Saturday, April 28th, 1 to 4. And the New England member meeting in Charlestown, Massachusetts. Guest speakers are Drs. Angela Leck and Lou Kenkel, who will be talking about the search for a new drug targets to block the toxic effects of DUX4. That's April 29th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also, the last thing here she wanted me to mention is call for nominations for the 2018 FSH Society Community Award is also up there. So go ahead and do that. I don't think they mean actually call, like on your phone, like the call to do that is up right now on fshsociety.org. All there available. One last thing I wanted to mention before we close up shop is what we did talk about a little bit with Sean was the 2018 FSHD Connect Conference, an international networking meeting for FSHD families, clinicians, and researchers, Saturday and Sunday, June 9th and 10th at the Flamingo in Las Vegas, Nevada. I plan on being there. In fact, they actually have me slated to take part in the event, which I'm super excited about. To be asked to be a part of this is just mind-blowing to me, considering I've recently diagnosed, only been involved with the society a little over a year. So to be involved with this is going to be great. On Saturday, June 9th, here's some of the events going on, like mindfulness practice with Jen Eggert, research advocacy workshop. the FSHD StoryCorps, which I will be fronting. So come find me and share your story on Saturday, June 9th. FSHD Portrait Project Clinical Trials Research Network Information Table. That's all just going on from 9 a.m. to 1 on the first day. Yeah, exactly. Mark Stone will be talking segments about understanding FSHD, the road to treatment, clinical trial readiness, FSHD Science 101, treatment strategies panel. That's only on the first day, and I'm only giving you small snippets, a ton of information on day one. Day two, they'll have breakout sessions, which will be with physical therapists, psychology approaches on this, accessibility hacks, caregiving discussions, and a lot more. You can find the itinerary, which is what I'm reading off to you here, on FSHsociety.org. It's all right there for you. I'll tell you, this was a lot of fun today. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed having Sean on. He's just a hoot. I mean, that's just the best word to use because he's a lot of fun to talk to. I'm glad he took the time to come on, share a little bit about what's going on in his world, his story. I want to hear your story. So reach out next time we have the show. Last Wednesday of every month, so next April, or in April, we'll have the next show. So follow us on Facebook, see who the featured guest will be. Go to FSHsociety.org to learn how to get connected, stay connected, find help, find someone to talk to. We're all here for you. If you want to reach out to me, that's FSHradiohost@gmail.com. Thanks for being with me tonight. Have a pleasant evening. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.